Good evening. As I get things situated, I'll go ahead and turn to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would be here tonight, that you'd use me as a vessel, that your Spirit would come upon us through conviction, that you would sanctify us through this word. Lord, I pray that I would not misuse your word. Lord, that I would responsibly take upon this charge that you've given me. Father, but not in my own strength, but the strength that you've given me through Christ Jesus. Father, I pray tonight that what is said would not be my own, but be your word. That we would be changed by it. And be encouraging and convicting. Lord, I just praise you for bringing us together tonight in fellowship with one another. Just praise you and thank you for everything you have given us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we begin Malachi chapter 2, if we read the two verses offhand, it really doesn't make much sense. Because God here... This chapter begins with an immediate distinction being made about who Malachi is speaking to. That he's not speaking to the entire nation of Israel at this point, but the religious leaders. Those who should have known better. But this distinction was made earlier in Malachi. If we'll turn to Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, at the end of that verse it says, "Where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name? Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name?" Now, for the sake of time and reverence for my other brothers who have preached, I'll not be giving an exposition or explanation of those verses from verse 6 to the end of chapter 1, but instead I'd encourage you to listen to those who have already spoken on these things. But what we need to know here is that God has revealed to his priests the ways in which they have despised him by bringing defiled food on his altar, that they have given, that they have called the table of the Lord contemptible. So we have to understand that in the context of chapter 1. And so, it says, "And now, O priests, this commandment is for you." So what is the command God has given? Going into verse 2, I admit that when I was given this scripture to preach on, I was pretty perplexed by it. Because it says, "If you will not hear, if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I'll curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart." So if you read these two verses offhand, it really doesn't make sense. Because God is here giving his priests a warning that if they do not take these things to heart, he will send a curse. And actually in the ESV it says the curse. But yet immediately after, God says, "I have cursed you already." So what's the point? When I first read this chapter and verse, I honestly thought of a skit by Tim Hawkins. A lot of you know Tim Hawkins. He's a Christian comedian. And the reason why that came to my mind was he did this little skit once where he was talking about parents and how helpful parents are. And that going underneath the table to grab a fork or a knife that you just dropped, and then getting up and hitting your head on the bottom of the table, and your parents saying, "Oh, be careful." It's like, "Oh, thanks, Mom. I already did it." In the same way, when I was reading verse 2, that's what went in my mind. I'm like, why are you telling us this warning now, God? You already cursed us. Why are you giving us a warning again when you say, yes, I have cursed your blessings already? So, that's what I thought. Why would God give a warning for something that thing has already happened? That's not what we understand what God is saying, because he is quoting himself. Turn to Leviticus chapter 22, verse 24. Leviticus 22, verse 24. Now, in the context of Leviticus, what's going on is that God here is speaking to Moses, giving him the law, telling him how he wants his people to act. In verse 24 of chapter 22, he is talking to Moses about offerings, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And verse 24 says, "You shall not offer to the Lord what is bruised or crushed or torn or cut, nor shall you make any offering of them in your land. Nor from a foreigner's hand shall you offer any of these as the bread of your God, because their corruption is in them and defects are in them. They shall not be accepted on your behalf." So this is the law right here that Israel has broken in the book of Malachi. That has already been stated, that these offerings have defiled the Lord. And as we continue through the book of Leviticus, going through the next four chapters, if you'll turn to Leviticus chapter 26, those other four chapters have laid out other laws of how Israel should interact with its people and with those who are outside of Israel. But in chapter 26, God is speaking to Moses here about the consequences if we are not to follow what he has told us in his law. Leviticus 26, verse 14 is where we'll start. And it says, "But if you do not obey me, do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I will do this to you. I'll even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for enemies shall eat it. And I'll set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you." That's pretty rough. That's pretty hard of how God is speaking to his people. But God doesn't stop there. He continues and says, "And after all this, if you do not obey me, then I'll punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. And he continues, "Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate." And he continues, and he says, "And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you, and I'll punish you yet seven times for your sins, and I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And after all this, if you do not obey me but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you in fury. And even I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. I will lay your cities to waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation. I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. You shall land, your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate. And you are in the enemy's land. Then the land shall rest in its joy and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest. For the time it does not rest on your Sabbaths, when you dwell on it. God here in Malachi chapter 2, he gives this almost backwards warning to Israel. Because what he is saying is, I have cursed you because you have not followed my commandments. But I will curse you again if you stay. If you do not set your heart upon the things of the glory of his name, says the Lord of hosts. And last sermon I preached, we spoke a little bit about the Lord of hosts and who he is. The Lord of hosts being those... God is here setting that he owns creation. He has the strength to do what he pleases. He says, I'll send a curse upon you and I'll curse your blessings. The good things that God gave to his people, he will now curse them. As he says in verse 26 of chapter 26 of Leviticus, that when he cuts off the supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. The good bread that God has provided for him will not satisfy his people if they do not listen. God will discipline his people. Don't think that because you're a Christian and that God has redeemed you, that you can now live in sin. That you can now live in a way that is not pleasing to God. That doesn't remove you because you've been saved by grace through faith that you can do whatever you please. You are saved to something, not just away from something. We are to follow God and what pleases him. And if we don't, it's very clear what he will do. God will, if he's not pleased with you, he will discipline you. Don't think that because we have been given freedom, that we can worship God however we want, that we can do whatever we please, that our will is what deems worship. So, you must feel the level of condemnation that's being placed here. Everything that God has given the Israelites here, God says he will curse those things. God says, I will take these things and use them as ill will towards you now because of how you have decided to worship me and despise my name. But going back to Malachi 1, verse 2, we have to remember who God, through Malachi, is speaking to. God isn't speaking here to the world. He isn't speaking to just a general population. He is here speaking to those who he loves. God doesn't do this right here, this discipline, to those that he hates. He says that in, I believe, verse 3 of chapter 1. He explains to you what he does to those he does not love. But these are the things that God does to the believer, those who are under the covenant, that they will be cursed if they do not take these things to heart and glory in the name of God. So who are the priests? I love how that since this has been a series of different people preaching, we kind of butt into each other's verses. And John, last week, used one of the, I think, one of the most perfect verses that is fitting to a New Testament believer. And that's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. First Peter 2, verse 4 says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." That is us. We can now bring offerings that are pleasing to God through Jesus Christ, because our offerings are defiled. We don't take the name of God, we don't take his glory to heart, the things that he has taught us, the way that we are to live. We dishonor him in our actions and our thoughts and our motives. And he gives us, as we go back to Leviticus 26, he gives us that hope. He gives us that hope at the end in verse 44. As he has given all these terrible, terrible things that he will do to those who dishonor his name, he then at the end of this chapter in verse 44, he says, "Yet for all of that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them, to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God." That is the gospel, that he will not let you go. He has saved you. That no matter what kind of discipline we are given in this life, as Christians, we hold to the cross because he is our Lord and he is our God because of the covenant he made with us. Not because of anything we can hold to, as obvious in Scripture, as obvious as the Israelites, and obvious in our own lives, that we can do nothing that God has asked of us that will be pleasing enough to him to earn our salvation, to earn his graciousness, to earn heaven. But because that he is our God. As I said, though, this is not for the unbeliever. This is not for those who are not under Israel. But this is for those that God loves. As he says in Malachi 1, verse 3, it says, "Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, 'We have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places.' Thus says the Lord of hosts, 'They may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, The Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel.'" There is no hope given to Edom here. There is no hope given after these things, after the wrath of God has been bestowed upon them. That is a situation of an unbeliever. That is a situation of a person who has no hope. Hope can only be given by God. We can't make up in ourselves some sort of hope, like things will be better tomorrow if I just try harder. No, lay everything down before God. We must come to salvation. And even though we are disciplined as believers, we know that we have hope of perfection in heaven. When we no longer deal with sin, we no longer deal with the flesh that we live in, the ungodliness of not only our own hearts, but the world that we live in. But don't be an Edomite. Be part of Israel. That is given through us through Jesus Christ. He is the access to that. Jesus Christ came fully God, became fully man, not losing any sense of his deity, lived for 30 years on this world, a life that we couldn't live, and then died in our place, took upon the wrath of God in full that we deserved, fulfilling prophecy, fulfilling the law, and then rose again as proof that he has paid our ransom. That is what I entreat you tonight. Cling to the cross. Cling to his righteousness. Because we have no other hope but in him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight for the word you've given us. Father, I just pray that we would hold to your cross, hold to your mercy. Pray that as we go throughout this upcoming week, we would find glory in your name, that we would take to heart your word. Lord, as the psalm says, that we will hold fast to your word. Father, don't let us go. Do not abhor us. Because you are our God. You are our Lord. Praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.